Okay, Os Chaf Beis. Let's see if we can do Chaf Beis and Chaf Gimel tonight. We'll try. So we were describing last time Chachma, Bina, and Das. And that was last week. Chachma, Bina, and Das, the different levels of awareness, taking the kernel of an idea and then being able to attach yourself to it completely. So Os Chaf Beis is one of the more famous statements that the Osher Divrei Emes makes. And he defines for us, he says, what's the difference between Nigla and Nistar? What's Nigla and Nistar? We're talking about Torah Sanigla, Torah Sanistar. So people think Nigla, Nigla means the revealed Torah. If I learn Mishnayis, if I learn Palacha, if I learn Gemara, that's Nigla. If I learn Kabbalah, Arizal, that's Nistar. So he says, not necessarily. V'hefrish gadol bein mi shechoshev v'Hashem yisbarach leprakim, u'bein mi shechoshev bo tamir. There's a great divide, a major difference between a person who thinks about Hashem sometimes and a person who thinks about Hashem all of the time. Kerachok mizrach mimarav. And it's not just, well, this person thinks about Hashem a little bit more, so it's the distance between the East and the West. It's the farthest distance in the world. Your whole life's going to look different if you're the type of person who's constantly bringing Hashem into your life experience versus the person who, you know, every now and again checks in with God. Maybe it's a Shabbos, maybe it's a Yom Tov, maybe it's once a year on Yom Kippur. V'i efshar lefarish ha-hefrish, I'm not able to fully describe the distance, the difference between them. He dovers that toli ba'avanta deliba. Because it's something that can only be understood by a person's heart. But a person who's experienced it, who's felt close to Hashem, and then is able to compare that to, wow, for so long I wasn't close to Hashem, they understand the massive divide. Again, some people think, like, I'm fine, my relationship with Hashem is good. It's good enough, I check in occasionally. When a person acquires an awareness of Hashem with a sense of tamidus, he realizes, whoa, holy cow, like, I didn't know anything about Hashem. My life was totally not connected to Hashem. But it's hard to put that into words, he says. It's an experience. V'zeh nikra chachmas hanistar. And he says, that's called chachmas hanistar. Knowing the secret of Hashem's constant interaction with us and our ability to constantly interact with Hashem, that's Chachmas HaNistar. It doesn't matter if you're learning Gemara or if you're learning Kabbalah. You could be learning the deepest Torah in the world in a superficial way without a connection to Hashem. And you could be learning the simplest Mishnah and it's Mamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you. So when a person has that awareness of constant contact with Hashem, that's called Chachmas HaNistar. I want to read you a line from Rav Moshe Wolfson, a letter that he wrote to a bacher in Eretz Yisrael, who wrote him a letter, who asked Rav Wolfson, what is Chassidus? What is Chassidus? This is printed in the beginning of Rav Wolfson's Sefer on the Tanya. They printed the letter. Al she'elascha mahi Chassidus. You asked me, what is this Chassidus? Chuvasi ein yodea. Rav Wolfson says, I don't know. Im tishal li mahu chai, if you were to ask me, what is life, define life? Gam al zeh ashiv, ein yodea. About this I would also say, I have no idea. Amnam ani margish chai. I know I'm alive. How do you know you're alive? What makes you alive? Define life. What's the essence of your life? The essence of your... I don't know. I don't know. Rav Wolfson's a pretty deep thinker. I don't know, but I feel it. I know what it is. I know it because I'm experiencing it. Ein shinoi ben chai lemeis, rak shebachai yesh ruach chai. He says the difference between someone who's alive and someone who's dead is that someone who's alive has a ruach chai, a spirit of life. That's very hard to describe what that is and how that is. But anyone who's been alive knows what alive feels like. And anyone who's encountered someone, God forbid, who's no longer alive, you know what dead looks like. Habal Shem Tov him shechayim shal hargashas elukus va'olam. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov did. Rav Wolfson says, you want to know what Chassidus is? I don't know exactly what it is, but I know the Baal Shem Tov brought a different level of living to the world. It's an amazing letter. I don't know how to define it. It's an experience. If you've been there, you'll know what it is. It's the first piece in the Sichos Aran. When Rabbi Nachman explains the words of David HaMelech, Kani yadati ki gadol Hashem v'adoneinu mikol elokim. David Melech says, I know that God is the greatest. How do you know? Prove it. I can't put it into words. Words are not going to capture the essence of what I want to say. Words will actually cheapen what I'm trying to say. cheapen that experience. If you've been there, you know it's much deeper than anything words could say. A popular singer referred to words as futile devices. Anyone can name the tune, you win a prize. Futile devices. They're futile devices for trying to express how you feel. If I tell you I love you, it doesn't even begin to capture the feeling of love that I have for you. So when I talk to Hashem, in a certain sense, I feel like every time I open my mouth, I cheapen my relationship. I want to say it. David Melech says, I want to say it. Ani yadati, I know it's true, but I can't say it, because if I try to say it, it's gonna take it away from the hergish that it is. Okay? So says the Yosher Devar Emes, that's called Chachmas Hanistar. That's called what? That's called the secret wisdom. Kamosha Shemati Mipek Kadosh Marina Harab Menachem Mendel Mipre Mishlan. Like I heard from the Rebbe of Menachem Mendel Mipre Mishlan. Shenistar Nikra Dover She'ein Adam Yachol Lahavino Lachavero. It's a beautiful way to look at it. What is Nistar? What is something hidden? Hidden is something that I'm not able to communicate to my friend. I can give him like a taste of the idea. If I had to explain to you now why or how or in what way I love my children, I could tell you a lot of things. But there's nothing I could say which will get to the essence of how I feel about my children. Like the flavor of food. How do you describe the taste of Dr. Pepper to someone who's never tasted Dr. Pepper? You can't. You can compare it to other things. You can get a taste of a taste, but you can't get to the essence of it. It has to be experience. That's called nistar. But it's not possible to describe its flavor until you've experienced it. And that's called the hidden matter. So when it comes to the love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, I could give shiurim about it, and we could talk about it, and I could show you sources about it, and someone could try to share their experience about it, but until you've actually felt Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem, you have no idea what it is. I think I told you once, the Yismach Moshe once asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a big reward for something that he did, that he should be given the Yiras Shemaim of the Rambam. I want to feel how the Rambam felt about Hashem in terms of the awe that he felt for God. And the Yismach Moshe was given it as a reward, and he panicked. He couldn't handle it. It was completely overwhelming to him. He never felt anything like that before. Right? So you can read about how the Rambam describes what Yiras Hashem is like. You can open the Rambam to the 10th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says, you know what Avas Hashem is like? Avas Hashem is like falling in love with a woman and you can't stop thinking about her. When you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you eat, wherever you go, you can't. Right? So the Rambam is giving us a picture. He's painting a Shir HaShirim for us. But is that actually what Avas Hashem is? When a person experiences it, you know it's much more than that even. Right? V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. B'chol levavcha is my entire heart, leaving no room for my wife, my children, my friends, my family, etc., etc., etc. So it's a level of love that is not the same as falling in love with a woman. That's the Rambam's mashal. That's how you get a taste of it. But until you've actually been there, you don't know what it is. So when the Yismach Moshe got a taste of the Rambam's Yiras Shamayim, he said, wow, now I know what Yiras Shamayim is. I thought I knew what it was. Now I really know what it is. So e'afshar lefarish lechaveiro eich hi ha'av ha'belev v'zen nikra nistar. You can't explain to someone else a feeling of the heart. That's called nistar. Now, if you remember, for those who've been part of some of the shiurim, the Yosher Devar Emes, part of what he's writing about is people who think that they have a deep relationship with Hashem, and he feels that they actually don't. He thinks that there's a superficiality to the relationship, even though they think they're very deep, and they think they're very holy. And a lot of it, he says, is just their own gaiva. So look what he writes in the next paragraph. Aval ma sheheim korim nistar. What people who think nistar is, chochmas ha-kabbalah. Right? People who learn Kabbalistic texts. And they think, what do you mean? What do I need the Baal Shem Tov for? I know what nistar is. So he says, heichu nistar. This is a great line. Why is Kabbalah called nistar? It's hidden. Is it so hidden? You can go to the YU library right now and take out 100 books on it. Where is it hidden? It's available to all. Heichu nistar. Right? Halo kol misha rotza lilmod hasefer lefanov. Go pick up the book. So obviously you'll say, well, it's nistar because it's hard to understand. Gemara is also hard to understand. Bava Kamma is also hard to understand. Vim eino maven, and if you don't understand it, that doesn't make it hidden, that just makes you an Amaretz, he says. Vim eino maven, who Amaretz, right? If you don't understand, it doesn't make it hidden. I can teach you the simplest thing. I can show you a picture of the letter Aleph. If you don't know Aleph, you go, oh, it's some deep secret hieroglyphic, you know? No, it's the letter Aleph. What do you mean? Every little kid knows that. Right? So it's hidden until you know what it is. That's not called hidden. For such a person, right? Understanding Rav Chaim Brisker, that's also hidden. Rabbi Kiva Eger. Yeah. In my desk, I sit right across one of the Sfarim, right across, and the shelf right across from me is the Chedushe Harim, the Ger Rabbi, on Gittin. Big fat volume. It's cool on this today. I look at it all the time and I say, wow, that's the Chedushe Harim. That's like the same Chedushe Harim, the Ger Rabbi, like the grandfather of the Sfas Emes. But he also wrote like a really hard sefer on Shas, a Maseches Gittin, a big fat volume. He was a Gonatzim, massive Talmud Chacham. He didn't just write Chassidus Shavar Lech, you know. He's not just known for a couple of good stories. He knew Shas, right? So that's more hidden to me than, I don't know, than Yosher Divrei Emes. But some people say, well, what are you even talking about? I don't understand these words. Right. So what makes something Nister or Nigla? Based on a person's ability to understand it, that just means how smart you are, how much you've studied, how well versed you are. That's not called nistar. For some people, Gemara is hidden. Ela inyan hanistaros shebechol hazohar v'kisvei arizal hakol benuyim al pi dveikus habore. What is nistar? What does nistar really mean? Al pi pnimiyas haTorah. What is the zohar and the arizal? What do they really mean when they talk about chachmas hanistar? Hard to understand concepts. There's really hard halachic concepts. There are hard psukim in Sefer Daniel and in Divrei Hayamim. What makes something nistar? Nistar means that which is what? That which is dependent upon dveikus. Because the way I feel in my attachment to Hashem, I cannot explain it to anyone else. And no one can. That's the most hidden thing in the world. You can't give over someone, you cannot give over your personal experience and your relationship with Hashem to someone else, no matter how much you try to describe it. A person who clings to Hashem and is able to peer at the heavenly chariot, and the words are hidden from us, but the feeling even more so. Right? We don't know what it feels. Do we know what dveikus feels like? So we think about a time that we felt close to Hashem. We think about a moment where I felt inseparable from Hashem. Maybe a ni'ilah on Yom Kippur. Right? Maybe, I don't know, a really powerful shalosh shudos. We have moments where we feel that we're attached in a deep way. Maybe we were standing, I can literally close my eyes right now and picture myself standing at the Kotel when I got back to Eretz Yisrael after going to Poland. Shana Aleph. Right? It's a deep feeling. It's a deep moment of attachment to Hashem. I can show you pictures of it. I can tell you, I try to describe how I felt. I can't give that over to you. That's Nistar. Right? So Nistar means a feeling of Dveikus. Kamo ha'ariza chrono l'chayel haba, like the Arizal, who had such access to the heavens, davin ihirin le shvilin derakia, where the pathways of the heavens were open to him, vayimahalich b'am tamed be'enei sichlo, and the Arizal could travel through all of the different worlds, k'mo ha'arba chacham shenichnasu b'pardes, like the Gemara tells the story in Maseches Chagiga, about the four Tanaim who entered the pardes, who entered the orchard, who used Kabbalistic knowledge to ascend to higher realms. You can't describe that to someone. You can't tell anyone what that experience is like. You have to be there. To be there, to know it. Okay, so he says what nista really means is what is that hidden attachment that a Jew can have to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that cannot possibly be put into words. Aval inyan ha'afresh bein misha choshev tamid b'bor yisbarach shemo le'ino choshev tamid doma b'miksas al derech masha. He says maybe we can understand again. We can't really explain what dveikus is, but I'm trying to teach you how to cling to Hashem. He says. So maybe we can explain the difference between a person who's thinking about Hashem all the time and a person who's thinking about Hashem some of the time. Maybe we can explain with the following mashal. If you remember, one of the words he used the last couple of weeks was hakara, recognition. What does it mean to really recognize someone? So he gives a simple mashal. Mi sheroa adam echad nachri meir acheres pisom. You're walking down the streets of Washington Heights and you walk past a fellow, walk past a person. Yeah, and you look at him. You look at him. And you see him. But if I were to show you a picture later that day of that guy, and I said, you know this guy? Never saw him in my life. I say, really? That's funny, because I know for a fact that you passed him this morning and you looked at him and even said good morning to him. Yeah, but I mean, I don't recognize him out of context. I barely know the guy. But you saw him. Yeah, but I only saw him for a second. So you don't have hakara, you don't have recognition of that person. When you see a stranger from another city suddenly, v'acher kach avar milafanov, v'im kein acher kach, k'shiyavar od pamachas lafanov, lo yakirenu. These people are strangers. How can I come to recognize them? I don't know who they are. Ki afal pisha mikodem ra'o. Even if I say, right, even if Hashem could show me, you know, the videotape in Shemayim and say, you passed this guy 6 times in your life. How did you not pick up on that? The third time, the fourth, the fifth time? Because I know hakara of him. That's not called knowing a person. Al pi chein lo yakirenu. So therefore, I don't know him. His image passed before me, his shape, his appearance was known to me for barely a second. And therefore it didn't get what etched into my mind. I don't really know who he is. I don't have a relationship with him. It didn't remain stuck into my memory. So therefore, if someone says to me, Moshe Tzvi, describe the man who you walked by this morning on your way into the Beis Medrash, on your way into the building. I have no idea. I can barely describe him. Right? I can't attach myself to him when I'm not right in front of him because I don't really know him. So that's how some people have a relationship with Hashem. When I'm mamish lifnei Hashem, it's Yom Kippur. Oh, so now I recognize Hashem. Yeah, well, you're describing the one who's standing right in front of you. So you see Hashem like the Talmud. On Yom Kippur, you're right in front of Hashem, so you're able to say, oh yeah, I know what Hashem feels like. But what about on a regular Tuesday? I don't feel like I have a good grasp of who Hashem is. Right, because you're not so connected to Him. You don't have hakara. You don't have recognition. You're not familiar with Hashem's face, because you don't spend so much time in His presence. Ki ein lo hakeiros v'chever imo klal, like the stranger who you don't have a recognition of, because he's not your friend. Kocha yiyeh mi she'eno choshev v'bori yisbara klal. So if I don't work on trying to picture Hashem and trying to get to know Hashem and thinking about Hashem, if I check in with Hashem in a very casual way once in a while, so then there's times when Hashem walks by me and I don't notice Him because He's not my friend. If your best friend walks by, even if it's a little dark outside, you'll recognize him. You'll know his body movements. You'll recognize his clothing. Something about him, you'll be able to identify him. But if a stranger walks by you, even in broad daylight, he's a stranger, so you don't recognize him. So if Hashem is a stranger to you, says the Osher Devar Emes, if Hashem is a stranger to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could walk right past you. Hashem could be by your side the whole day, and you barely notice him. You know why? Because he's a stranger. Happens to be that the stranger has passed you 10 times that day. Hashem interacted with you all these times, but you're not familiar with Hashem because you don't think about Hashem. So when that incident happened that morning, right, when you were driving on the highway and that car, you know, just missed you, you didn't realize that it was Hashem. Hashem was the one who was right there protecting you. You didn't even stop to say thank you, Hashem, because you're not so familiar with Hashem. You just said, "Whoa, that was a close call." You're not familiar. You're not paying attention to Hashem. Lo ava v'lo dveika kla. You're not loving Hashem. Again, the Rambam's description of the man who loves the woman and can't stop thinking about her. You're not davuk to Hashem, you're not clinging to Hashem, you don't feel that Hashem is present in your life. As opposed to the one who constantly thinks about Hashem, or at least as much as he can, he tries to think about Hashem. That's like a person you're very familiar with, you've seen him many times. And his image is etched into your mind, into your heart. The same way I can close my eyes right now and I can picture my wife perfectly, I can picture my children perfectly. I don't have to struggle to draw up a picture of their face in my mind. I'm trying to remember the mice. I once heard from a Ephraim Waxman that he said he had heard, I think, from a friend when he was younger, maybe his chavruso once upon a time in Lakewood. He said that His friend once went to visit his grandmother. I hope I'm telling the story right. I may not be getting the exact details right. I wasn't planning on telling it, but I'm half remembering it now. He said his friend came back, and his friend was very distraught. So he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I never saw my grandmother like that. I never saw her like that." He said, What happened?" He said, "My grandmother was a Holocaust survivor, and she had 11 siblings who were killed during the war by the Nazis And she said she's getting a little bit older now, and she said her youngest sibling, her youngest sister, who was only a little child at the time when she was killed, she says she's having a hard time remembering what she looks like. And it was so painful for her. She said, the older siblings who I had spent more of my life with, I could still picture them. But she said she was struggling to remember what her little sister looked like. And she said it was the most painful experience in the world for her. Someone who she's so close to, and I can't even picture that person. I don't know, I have no hakara of them. I wouldn't be able to identify my own sister if I saw a picture of her. That's so tragic. So imagine a person who can't identify their father, Avinu Shu HaShamayim. Can you imagine? A person who never knew their father and just keeps walking past their father and doesn't realize that that's their father? That's such a tragedy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there, but if we're not familiar with Hashem, we don't recognize Hashem. Hanikra Rishimo Bekisvei Arizal. This image, this marking, Rishimo means an imprint, right? A rosha means a stamp, a marking, in the writings of the Arizal. Hashem is supposed to leave a stamp on us. Uvisvaso l'roso pam shenis azay makiro. And if I had a deep interaction that first time, when I see the person again, I remember. Even if I didn't see them in a while, oh yeah, of course I remember you. We had that really deep conversation last time. How could I forget you? You weren't just a random stranger who I said good morning to. Uchukoso va'ava so gedolei lav ma'od. Vizchabruso a love nechona. And therefore the attachment to that person is direct and correct. Proper. Va'kol lefi erech ha'ish. And everything depends on the individual. Im yashar hu v'tov lischabrei lav. Well, if he erach zman is kabrusam yachad, it depends on, again, the nature of the people, time in which they interacted. Kocha yehadioka necha b'libo, to whatever degree the experience was deep and real and you were present, that's how big of a mark it's going to leave on you. Asher al yedeza makiro achakach, you'll come to recognize it, you'll remember it afterwards. V'zen nikra hakara, and that's this term that you find, again, even in the Rishonim, called hakara, recognition. What does it mean, recognition? Deep understanding and being able to recall something and to feel the presence of that thing even when it's not in a physical sense right in front of me. This is called recognition. The ability to recall that feeling of closeness to Hashem at all times. And then he writes, I learned this idea of I learned this idea from Rav Tzvi Hirsch, the Magid Meisharim of the Kehila Kedosha of Dolny, the author of the Sefer Tzemach Hashem Litzvi, better known as the Magid of Nadvarna, the Tzemach Hashem Litzvi. I have the Sefer at home. He lived in the second half of the 1700s, passed away in 1806, the Magid of Nadvarna. And that's what the Sefer, he said, that's who taught this idea to me, this concept. And that's what the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos means, again, when it uses these terms, Hakaraso Chazaka or Hakaraso Chalusha, strong recognition and weak recognition. What does that mean in terms of connection to God? Strong recognition and weak recognition means, is Hashem my best friend or is Hashem a stranger to me? My best friend, I can close my eyes right now and I can smile and I can feel, I can have an emotional experience of a good time that I had with my friend. Or with my spouse, or with my child, or with my parent. As opposed to what? As opposed to a stranger, right, who my interaction with was a fleeting moment in time. So no, I don't remember, right? I don't remember the woman who was friendly to me at the you know, when I was getting my license updated at the motor vehicle place, you know? Most of the people there are mean, she happens to have been nice, but I don't remember. Even though like it was an exceptional experience. They're usually so mean to you over there, you know? They yell at you the whole time. Right? So why did? Because I only saw her, I met her once, and she, you know, some nice old lady who like didn't yell at me because I didn't bring the right paper or whatever when I was renewing my license. You know, I can't picture her. I can't have a deep feeling for that experience. It was nice. It was helpful, but it doesn't leave a rosha because it's a hakara chalusha. It's a weak recognition. So the question is, what's my relationship with Hashem? Is my relationship with Hashem deep and real and constant, or is it casual? He says that's what it means in the next paragraph when it says in Pirkei Avos, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim ve'ein atabo lidei aveira. Histakel b'shlosha dvarim. Stare. Stak means to stare. Contemplate deeply these three things, and you'll never come to sin. He says, what does it mean, histakel? You could think about these things and it still won't work for you. What does it mean to stare at something? It means to what? To attach it to your mind. To etch it into your mind. Right? I could stare at a picture of this stranger, but if I don't really have an appreciation of who he is and what he means to me, a week later I could forget. Why? You saw him so many times. Yeah, but my hakara, my deep recognition was chalusha, was weak. That's what it says. The pasuk in Mishlei says in the third parak. What are we supposed to do with Torah? Where are the luchos? Where are the luchos supposed to be? It's not supposed to be stone tablets. The pasuk says in Mishlei in the third parak, kasveim aluach libecha. Etch it on the stones of your heart. What does it mean to etch Torah onto the luach, the tablet of your heart? That means internalize Torah in a deep way. So that you never forget it. That you can't disconnect from it. There's a lot of vartlach, like, you know, when the Torah says you're not able to do something. Like it says about Maiser Sheni. Lo sucha lecho b'sharecha. You're not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni in your gates, which means in your hometown. You have to take it to Yerushalayim. So what does it mean, lo tuchal, you're not able? Who says I'm not able? Why am I not able? What's going to happen if I do it? Is God going to strike me down with a lightning bolt? Why does the Torah say you're not able? The Torah should say you're not supposed to. You're not allowed to. Why does it use the word you're not able to? So many tzaddikim explain it. There's a lot of different psukim that kind of emphasize this idea. I like this idea a lot. I'm trying to remember. I just found one recently connected to Pesach. I don't remember. I wrote it down. But the idea is lo tuchal. That's the level the Torah wants you to reach. Where what? Where I'm not able. Lo tuchal le'achol bisharecha. I am not able to do it. Because Hashem says so, I internalize it so deeply, I cannot bring myself to do it. For all the money in the world, I cannot turn on a light on Shabbos. I can't. It's outside my Bechira point. I can't do it. Because some of errors I can still do. I know I shouldn't. I try not to. But I still do them. What?
We're still
undergoing
surgery.
Right, someone went to undergoing, yeah. There's a couple of tzaddikim who did that. Tzaddikim wore tefillin during surgery because Halacha says you're not allowed to fall asleep in tefillin. So there was a tzaddik who didn't. The Jabina Rav did it. A couple of people did it. They didn't want to undergo anesthesia, right? But they needed anesthesia for a delicate surgical procedure. So they said, you know what? Just I'll wear tefillin, and I'll. Oh no, that's not what it was. No, they said it wrong.
You said to get anesthesia.
No, he needed. No, he got anesthesia. But they were scared that the anesthesia, if he fell asleep from anesthesia, God forbid, they wouldn't be able to wake him up afterwards. So he got anesthesia, and he said, I'll wear tefillin to make sure I don't fall asleep, because I can't fall asleep in tefillin. So that way I can get the anesthesia to have the procedure and still be awake. What do you mean? Do you have anesthesia? Like, the anesthesia puts you to sleep. It's not... What? No, you're not allowed to sleep in tefillin. So I'm not able to sleep in tefillin. That's the halacha. That's called hakara chazaka. That's deep hakara. I can't. The Torah says I can't. They tell a mice with the kotzker. The kotzker, one time, someone came to the kotzker. And they said to the kotzker, someone stole a knife from the house. He had like a silver challah knife, you know? Someone stole a knife. He says, it can't be. He said, it can be. It happened. So he said, no, it can't be. He said, why can't it be? He says, because it says in the Torah, lo signov. It says you can't steal. So what do you mean someone stole? It says in Torah you can't steal. So they explain to the kotzker. Most people understand that you shouldn't steal, and sometimes they do. By the kotzker, if the Torah says you cannot steal, that means you cannot steal. It's not physically possible to steal. He couldn't understand. What do you mean someone stole? How could that be? Lo tuchal. It's not possible. So that's called kasvim aluach libecha. Right? Mishlei perek gimel pasuk gimel. To etch it onto the tablets of your heart. In such a way that it's not. That's what the Torah says. The eino doma lemisha mahar ba pamachas lemahar er tamid. You can't compare a person who thinks about something once in a while to someone who thinks about something constantly. The more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the more you try to live with it, that becomes your reality. Okay? And that's called hakara. Okay? Let's go to Os Chaf Gimel. I want to jump ahead just to do a little bit more tonight. Os Chaf Gimel. So therefore, a person whose mind is Shalem, who attaches himself to an idea, like the pasuk we saw this morning from Divrei Hayamim, Balev Shalem. Right? Da es Elokei Avicha, like we learned last week, Das means attachment. Da es Elokei Avicha, know the God of your fathers, V'avdehu Balev Shalem, and serve him with a full heart. If you really know Hashem, then you can't give Hashem less than 100%. If you really know Hashem, if you really felt Hashem is standing in front of you, on Yom Kippur, when you really feel Hashem is in front of you, you're able to make good choices. You're able to daven with Kavana. On a regular Tuesday, you don't know that Hashem is just as much with you on a Tuesday afternoon as He is on Yom Kippur. So that's why my davening is not as good. Because I don't feel in the presence of Hashem. I don't have Das Shalema. Hainu Hakaras Habore. Like the Gemara says in the Dharm about Avram Avinu Hikir Es Bora. This is a nice idea. The Gemara discusses the point when Avraham Avinu discovered Hashem. But the Yoshua Devei Emes is saying, no, look at the word they use. They use the word that Avraham Avinu recognized Hashem. And now let's understand this Gemara in light of how we've been explaining the last 2 weeks. Hakara. When it says Avraham recognized Hashem, it doesn't mean that Avraham began to contemplate the possibility of a divine being. It means that Avram saw Hashem crystal clear. Hikir es boro. He recognized Hashem. V'kivnu kol zeh be'emes. And he understood this be'emes. As it was explained to me, he said, this is how it was explained to me, by Rav Ber of Chodakra, who was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich. I'm not sure who that is. Okay. V'zeh ha'kol i'efshar im yishachoshev Talmud b'Hashem yisbarach u'mufshot begashmiyes. So this is impossible to come to unless a person thinks about Hashem all the time and detaches himself from physicality. V'zeha adam nikra daito rechava, and this is called das rechava, an expansive consciousness, expansive das. V'lezeha adam yeshlo madregas das hamamali kol achadarim, like we learned last week, that das means that das gives full form to something. It's not just a loose understanding of an idea or the possibility of an idea. It's the solidification of the idea. It's das, it's Adam knowing his wife, which means Adam was intimate with his wife. Like the pasuk says, uvedas chadarim yimalu. With das, the rooms are filled. When a person really, when you attach yourself fully to an idea, you go in 100%. Ratzalomer, kol chadre libo, you tire all the chambers of the heart, v'chol tenua sevarav, and all of the movements of the limbs, ponim umulein mizet. Express this. I once had a relative who was dating. A female relative who was dating. And I saw there was a certain, it was at a stage like early on in the dating process, which, you know, people sometimes call love, but it's really more like an infatuation. But you could see in the body movements of this person, like how they were filled, mamish filled with like this relationship. That's what he's describing here. That the tenua sevarav, ponim umalein miza, right? But they don't have to tell you anything that you know exactly what they're thinking about, how they're feeling, just the way they're moving. There's like a different rhythm to their, you know, to their day, right? Because you know there's something, there's a specific thing that they're like. It's totally enveloping them from head to toe. V'chol tenu osav shalzel l'shem shemayim. So when a person becomes fully absorbed with Hashem, right? This is what Rabbi Nachman meant when he said when a yidl sits there twirling his payas, the olamos are swirling, right? Rabbi Nachman is saying that even if you don't realize how connected you are to Hashem, on a deep level, even like your movements when you don't even realize what you're doing are connected to Hashem. But all the more so, a person who be'emes is connected to Hashem, where his moves are in the presence of Hashem, like the Ramah at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. V'zeu b'chol d'rachecha de'ehu, in all of your ways to know Hashem, to constantly be involved with Hashem. V'gam kein b'chol mashero ba'olam. And this is the type of person that every single thing that he sees in the world, Roha Kol Hashem Yisparach, he sees Hashem in everything. It's natural. It's not like a var. Like, what can I learn from this experience? It's just, of course, this is Hashem interacting with me. Hashkacha Pratis to the nth degree. Kamosha Kasavti Le'el comes back to the mashal again of the mashal of the big deha isha, the mashal of the woman's garment. Where again, when the person who's in love sees that beautiful garment, right? And immediately he connects it to the woman who he loves and pictures her wearing the garment. It's instantaneous. He can't see the garment without seeing his beloved wearing that beautiful dress. Again, it's a delicate mashal, but it's true. V'ozhu roa mamish Hashem yisparach malo chalaretz kavod, where everything he looks at, he just sees Hashem. And that's what it means. Bidas chadarim yimalu. Right? With wisdom, the rooms, the chambers are filled. What's a lomar? Misha yesh lo das roa shekol chadre haolam meleyim mikvod Hashem yizbach. Not just the chambers of my heart or my body, but every nook and cranny of the world is filled with what? It's filled with the presence of Hashem. V'yachol lilmod mikol masha roa chachmas Hashem yizbach. And everything is a divine and godly experience. Like the pasuk says in Iyov, malfeinu mibahamos aretz. Malfeinu. Anyone want to take a guess what that word means?
Teach.
What? Teach. Oh, very good. Right? Aleph. I told you. Aleph means to learn or to teach. Right? An aluf is a chief. Yeah? So malfeinu, right? Malfeinu is a lashon of acquiring wisdom. Malfeinu mi bahamos aretz. Who makes us more knowing than the beasts of the field? The way the Rishonim explained that pasuk is that we're saying to Hashem, Hashem, you gave us a wisdom that makes us more than animals, so we should probably use it. An animal sees, you know, a cow's in a field, and he sees the nice pasture, and he sees lunch. A Jew looks at a field, what's he supposed to see? He's supposed to see the Gemara that says that hovering over every blade of grass is a malach, right? And then go deeper than that, and to say that every movement, like the Rapshitzer Center of Simcha Bunim said, when a Jew walks down the street and he kicks a rock by accident from point A to point B, there's a Hashkacha Pratis to that. Everything moves by Hashkacha Pratis. There's nothing in the world that's not an expression of Hashem. So Malfeinu Mibahamos Aretz, Hashem, you made us more knowing than the animals, so we should probably try to see you in everything. We should learn how to see you in everything. And in this way, he attaches himself to Hashem. He attaches the world to Hashem, and Hashem attaches himself to him. He realizes that there's no second of life that's not Hashem imbuing life to that thing. This table doesn't exist because it was put here at some point by some worker in YU. It's being brought into existence every second. And the tzaddik actually sees that with his physical eyes. And how do we continue to allow this to exist in a meaningful way? When I look at this table and see an expression of God, that's how I make this table into something more than just a piece of wood that was put together by a carpenter. Okay, let's do one last paragraph for tonight. V'zeh nikra tzaddik. And this is the inyan of the tzaddik. And again, you know the Yosher Divrei Emes holds that not everyone who learns Torah and even knows a lot of Torah is a tzaddik emes. What's a real tzaddik, he says? Sheyesh lo midas hiskashrus. The real tzaddik is what? Is davuk. He has his kashrus. He's attached. Shem bekusher ba'kadosh baruch hu, b'hu ba'olam hazeh. The tzaddik knows how to reach up and how to reach down and how to see it all as one. Hashem, who's out there, and the world down here, there's no disconnect. He's able to mekasher shemayim and aretz. Nimtza mekasher Hashem yisbarach b'olam hazeh. He attaches Hashem to this world. He achieves the purpose of creation, the dira b'tachtonim, that Hashem should have a presence in this world. V'zenik or bris. And he makes a covenant. He makes a bond, a bris, an attachment. Dveikus. An attachment between shemayim and aretz. Hamekasher es hamashpia v'hamekabel. That's the avodah of the tzaddik. Most people see there's God in some places, then there's Olam Hazeh. No. The tzaddik says, no. All of Olam Hazeh is just an expression of Hashem. And that's what it's referred to in Divrei HaYamim as Kikol Bashamayim Uva'aretz, which we know is a reference to the tzaddik. Right, Kabbalistically, the Sfira of Yesod, we've said many times that Kikol is Gematria Yesod, 80. Right, Yosef is the tzaddik. Yosef was a member of the royal family in Mitzrayim for 80 years. He was a melech, he was a tzaddik, he dominated Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a place of tremendous artzias, gashmias, and Yosef brought God into that place. He interpreted Paro's dreams in Parshas Miketz and said, it's not me, it's all God. Everything's God. He said that straight to Paro, melech Mitzrayim. Targum Yorosan translates, Ki kol b'shamayim uva'aretz as what? De'ochid b'shamayim uva'ara. The tzaddik is ochid, he's miyachid, he connects shamayim and aretz. V'hu ish atzadik shemekusher ba'Hashem yisvach hanikra shemayim v'hu ba'aretz. Hashem who's called Shemayim and the world below, the tzaddik says what? It's all one. Ki kol ba'Shemayim ba'aretz. It's all one thing. Kol ze gila lanu kodesh kadoshim arinu harav doiv ber. And all of this was taught to us again in the teachings of the Maggid of Mezrich. I'll just leave you with one beautiful remez that I saw from the Majid Sarebi, the Yisa Brach in Parshas Bereishis. It's a beautiful remez. Where was the greatest moment of Yichud Shemayim and Aretz? Where's the greatest moment in history where heaven and earth touched? Matan Torah. When Hashem touched down on Har Sinai, right? It's one of the most, again, I'll be pnimius, it's one of the most important psukim in the Torah, if you could say such a thing. What does it say? Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. So the Majid Sarevi writes in Parshas Bereishis on page 8, Yisa Bracha. He says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai is Gematria 681, which is the Gematria of Shemayim plus Aretz. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai is Gematria Shemayim plus Aretz. Because that's the Avodah. That's Hashem. That is Kabbalah Satara. What does it mean to be a Torah Jew? What does it mean? He'll get back to it next week. But what does it mean to learn Torah Lishma? Torah Lishma, according to Yoshe Devar Yemes, means what? Dveikus v'Hashem. To be Makasher Shemayim v'Aretz. My eating is a spiritual activity. My sleeping is a spiritual activity. My feelings are an expression of my relationship with Hashem. To be Miyached Shemayim v'Aretz. That's the avodah of the Tzaddik Emes. And that's what we have to strive for. Again, it's a very lofty thing. But the goal is to train ourselves, and the more we think about it and acquire das and hakara and dveikus, the more it becomes our reality. Okay, so we should be zocha v'am echulam tzadikim, we should all be tzadikim for ma'achid shemayim v'aretz. Shkoyach.